Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 7 of Season 7 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick, Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Chris Henry of the Apollo 13 Minute. Welcome back, Chris.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not underwater this time.
Yeah, I'm not underwater. Yeah.
You're not underwater collecting those barnacles, you know.
Yeah. Nope. Not underwater. We're still in the back of the police van, though.
That's right. That we are. So minute 7 begins with John finishing his response to Connie and ends with Cobb giving an ETA. So we left things off yesterday with John getting a little pissed off because Cobb kept asking him, I guess, personal questions about his life, about his marriage, about his kids, about why is he so hungover, you know, things like that. And then John started to strip. You know, he took off his pants, handed them to Connie, and, you know, made a comment about the fact that she's the first woman since Holly to see him without his pants on. And she says, I'm honored. And then he says, yeah, so is she.
Watch this clip. For somebody that's hungover, I'm not sure the ride in the back of a bouncy police van with, like, no windows is, like, probably the greatest thing for someone hungover.
Well, he's also sitting on the – it looks like he's sitting on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this looks like the most – it's like the back of a UPS truck. And hung over, and I imagine that it's summertime and warm, you know, and hot is what I. So I've been, I'm almost getting sick for him watching this sometimes.
Right. Well, he's just stripped off all his clothes, so that probably makes it a little easier. Because I'm assuming, like that, you know, the van sitting on parts of the van are probably pretty cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it hasn't warmed up yet. so maybe he did that on purpose. Maybe he said, hey, I want to rather, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sit on the floor here. Don't know. We shall never know. it's one of those movie mysteries that we'll never find out. You know, we can just speculate. That's what it comes down to. And then John turns to Cobb and says, "So where's the backup going to be?" And the Cobb just says to him, "Well, we're going to drop back to 128." And then John looks at him and goes, "What? 10 blocks? Are you fucking kidding me?" Oh, man, that's just great. Hey, Walter, what's this all about, huh? We talked a little bit about this last week. There's a discrepancy here because some people call Cobb Arthur and some people call him Walter. So we're not really sure what his name is. Because in the credits of the movie and on IMDb, he's listed as Arthur. But in the movie, people keep calling him Walter.
Interesting.
So and IMDb doesn't even bring it up. There's like... You know, usually you find on IMDb, someone will put it in the goofs or something like that. But they constantly keep calling him Walter. And, you know, and it's not as if Walter and Arthur are replaceable names. You know, it's not as if, it's not like Chris and Christopher or Rob and Robert, you know, or Bob or something like that. You know, it's like, it's just really weird.
Yeah.
You know, Walter and... Arthur.
I wonder if that's supposed to be some weird nickname, you know, because or like, you know, that's weird. What's the actor's real name, I wonder?
Okay, so we talked about this last week, and you'll probably be surprised about this also. So the actor, he also doesn't have very many IMDb credits, like we mentioned about yesterday, but it goes even further than that. Is Larry Brigman, okay, who he was born in 1938, and on IMDb he has only 22 acting credits, but one of those acting credits is on the soap opera As the World Turns, where he was on 1,432 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, and he won 2 Daytime Emmys for his work there, playing Dr. John Dixon.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he wasn't in anything... more prominent, you know, that late in later years, I guess you could say he had small roles in things, you know, but it's just very funny that, you know, I talked about this last week, the fact that I've seen this movie so many times, and I always, you know, you see Cobb and whatever, but I never think about if you've ever seen him elsewhere, And, you know, for them to take a soap opera star and give him this kind of role, because he was still playing the character. He played the character all the way to 2010.
Oh, wow.
So we're talking 15 years after this movie, he's still playing, you know, the same character in on As the World Turns.
Wow.
So I guess he didn't like being a police inspector. Yeah.
He went back to the medical.
I'm going to go back to being a doctor. Yeah. So to me, it's also very funny that that this is the point where John is asking the question, you know, shouldn't he have asked this before? When Cobb said to him, okay, John, we're going to take you to a place and you got to strip down and put something on you, you right. know, and at that point, shouldn't John say, what's this all about? Not waiting till he's right now, you know, getting dropped off and being told, you know, we'll be a mile away.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's an interesting timing from that point of view. And I can understand why John would be very shocked to hear this information right now. Maybe, I guess, in his hungover state, you know, he didn't feel like asking the question earlier. Maybe that could be the plausible explanation as to why he never asked before.
Yeah, he's just not thinking.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, but if someone tells you, okay, we're going to be driving you into the middle of Harlem, and you're going to have to get out practically naked.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure, no problem. And then later on you ask, oh, what, by the way, what's this all about?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something that you would have to question much earlier.
Yeah.
And then Cobb responds by saying, well, if we don't do it, this guy says he's going to blow up another public place. Well, why me? What's it got to do with me? I have no idea. He just said it had to be you. Well, it's nice to be needed. And then Cobb says to him, frankly, John, you haven't been. And he goes, hey, Walter, how about you mind your own business about Holly, huh?
That's the most New York line ever, right there.
Exactly. And, you know, as this is happening, you know, we see John start to get ready to get out of to get out of the van. You know, we see then that Ricky gets out with him, and you see that John is only in boxers right now. And then John turns to him and goes, between you and Simon, you're f***ing up a pretty good hangover. which again, this is a great line. You know, he does have some great lines here.
Oh yeah.
There's no question about that.
I love that he's just, I don't know if it's appropriate to call him the anti-hero, but like, he's just your everyday hero. He's like, I think that's why these movies were so successful, is because, I mean, A, they were over the top, I mean, with the action and everything, but the main hero was a guy that I think a lot of us are like, yeah, I can kind of be like that guy, I think. Like, you know, it wasn't your typical white, you know, knight in shiny armor kind of guy. It was just this.
No, and also he's not like, you know, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, where you see this pumped up guy or whatever it is. You know, he's an everyman. Like you said, he's the type of guy that we could all look at and say, hey, you know, I could see myself in that type of position.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't need to be this built up, bodybuilder for the whole thing or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. I also think that's why, like, the original Magnum TV show was successful, because the guy was just he was a guy that, yeah, ladies were really into, but, like, I think guys are like, yeah, I'd hang out with that guy. You know, like, he owed people money.
That's right.
And, you know what I mean? He was just like your normal everyday guy, which I thought was pretty cool.
Your normal everyday laid back Hawaiian guy who wore a Detroit Tigers baseball.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so I think that's, I really do. I know I digressed there, but I think that's, I really love those.
In Movies by Minute, there is no such thing as digressing. Come on. You know this, Chris.
Absolutely. But I do. I love that kind of hero where it's, you know, it's what, oh my God, I'm just a regular New York cop. And here I am, like, in this crazy, you know, scenario. And, you know, I love it. I love that, that scenario all the time.
Yeah. And that's why we all go back to watching Die Hard all the time. And that's why it's probably the best movie. This is the best movie series in the genre, because it does that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, even something like Cliffhanger, which is supposedly also an Everyman, you know, with Stallone, which I love that movie. There, you know, but you know, we still get too many scenes where they're showing off Stallone's muscles.
Sure.
Yeah. Here they don't do that at all. They don't need to do that. They don't feel the need. You know, here we have John McClane. That's it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and I like how they do that.
Again, I really find myself, especially later in life, identifying, you know, as a kid, it was like he was just an action hero like a lot of people. But as you get older, it's like, yeah, this is, you know, I identify with this guy. He's just trying to get through his day. He's got a headache, you know, and now he's got
okay. The whole thing. Exactly. I mean, another thing that they mentioned in the script at the very beginning of the script was that, you know, they gave us a scene also where he's in a bar getting drunk, you know, and they're talking about the fact that in the police station, they're talking about the fact that he's constantly getting drunk and getting hungover. You know, so they bring to the forefront that everything that's happened to John, you know, about his marriage breaking up is really affecting him. Wow. And you can sort of see that from his response here by him telling, you know, Cobb just to mind his own business.
Yeah.
Let me deal with my problems. I don't need your help dealing with my problems.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Even though, as you know, any of us who've seen the movie know that he doesn't even know how to deal with his problem. You know, even with Jesus trying to help him. So I don't know. John gets out of the van and Ricky gets out with him, and John is just wearing his boxers. And Ricky puts something on him. Do you know what that thing is called, of what he's put on him?
No, I don't think I don't think I did.
It's a sandwich board.
Okay, interesting. I wasn't sure if it was I assumed, do you know the background of that? I'd be interesting to know. Like, did they call it that?
The background of what? Of a sandwich board sandwich
like,
board?
Why did they call it, you know? Like, is it because they use them for advertising or something like that, of shops or something? I was.
Oh no, we're definitely gonna get into that right now. Awesome. I thought you specifically wanted to know, you know, the history of this sandwich
no,
board.
No, no, no.
No, that I do not have. Sorry to disappoint. I couldn't tell you, you know, what store the Cobb sent someone to go to go get, you know, the sandwich board in order to write on it what time and what.
When's the last time this sandwich board talked to its wife?
That's right. Exactly. It's not listed on IMDb. So, you know, even though last season we did have a non-human that was listed on IMDb that we had what to talk about. You know, when we're talking about It's a Wonderful Life, there was a crow, Jimmy the Crow, which is really a raven.
Oh wow!
Who appears in a lot of Capra movies, and apparently the rumor is that it appeared in over 1,000 movies over its career, and wow. You know, it has an IMDb page, and it's an animal.
That's cool.
Exactly. Yes. So yes. So the sandwich board does not have an IMDb credit. But a sandwich board is an advertisement tool composed of two boards with a message or graphic on it, and it's either being carried by a person with one board in front and one behind, so it comes out in a triangular shape, or and therefore it gives a sandwich effect. That's the idea behind it, you know, that you know, you are in between these two pieces of wood, you know, you are the sandwich in between, and sometimes you'd have it in front of stores advertising its goods, so therefore, you know, usually they have it set up that both sides say the same thing in that case, you know, and sitting in front of the things. So this goes back really, really far. Do you have any idea how far back the idea of advertising on two pieces of poster or whatever you want to call it?
Oh,
how far back would you say that goes?
I'm going to guess 1800s.
And you would be correct. Okay. So because they started having problems with poster space, and you know, they would have in England what was known as an advertising tax. So people were trying to find a way to advertise that would move and would help to promote sales. So Charles Dickens actually coined the term sandwich man, and he basically called these type of advertisers a piece of human flesh between two slices of pasteboard.
That's wild. I know.
Yeah. and this is something that was used for advertising for a very long time until they started using billboards. Billboards are now much more popular than they were then, so much larger and stuff like that. But there are still places where you will find these type of advertisements, usually in busy shopping streets in London or Paris or New York, you know, things like that. And so basically there's two types of sandwich boards, as we said. There's the carrying version, which is usually attached to like suspenders, and they would allow the person to wear the boards to carry the weight on their shoulders and keep the boards balanced as they're walking. These people sometimes will maybe pass out flyers or shout out different types of slogans and stuff like that. Sometimes they wear costumes. Nowadays, there are actually cities where advertising like this is considered illegal, and you can actually get fined for it. In England, in 1853, they set up the London Hackney Carriage Act, where it makes it not lawful for any person to carry any picture, placard, notice, or advertisement on any carriage or on horseback or on foot, except those which are approved by the commissioner of police. So you need to get approval for that type of thing according to that law. I wonder if it's really a law that is upheld or not, or if it's just one of those things. Okay. You know, like the blue laws in America, where most of them, you know, people just ignore.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow. I didn't realize it went that deep. I mean, that's pretty cool. We see them here once in a while in the Midwest right now, which is where I am. And, you know, not a ton anymore, though. You don't see that too much.
Right. Well, because they're afraid that they're going to get shipped off to England and get arrested. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's true.
Right. I think you see it more nowadays, maybe in front of restaurants where you have like a chalkboard that's on a triangular stand type of thing.
Yeah, I see that a lot. I mean, the only thing, it's not the same thing. What you see is around tax time, somebody dressed as a Statue of Liberty trying to sell you to go to H&R Block or whatever. But you don't really see the sandwich sign too much anymore.
Right.
At least as on a person. You know?
Right.
Yeah, usually you see it on a sidewalk.
Correct. And at this point, Cobb just says to him, okay. And then he says, we'll be back. He gets back into the van and says, we'll be back to pick you up. And then he gets cut off because that's where the minute ends. So people are going to have to come back tomorrow to find out exactly where, when they're going to come pick him up. We'll come pick you up next month. You know, there's a lot of things that you can guess. It's basically, I would say that there's an infinite number of responses to that one. You know, as a kid, I always loved you doing Mad Libs, you know, that type of thing. So,
and let's not digress from that. 10 blocks in New York City takes a while sometimes if you're driving.
Well, if you're in a police van, it'll take less time, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. That's still a little chunk of time.
That's right.
But, yeah.
I mean, especially if you have Michael Lee Merrins driving the van. So there you go.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, he knows how to run those lights.
Yes.
All right. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
No, I think we got it. Yeah.
All right. So the script, we left off yesterday with Cobb recommending that McClane retire, and McClane said, I won't fight it. And then it says they stare at each other, and Cobb then says, we'll talk about it later. Listen, we're pulling back to 125th. Simon says no cops within a 10-block radius or we'll get another bomb. There are 50 rooftops up here. That would give him a view. You want to take the chance he's not watching? McClane shakes his head, pauses. What the hell is this all about? I have no idea, John. McClane takes a deep breath and opens the van door. McClane gets out of the van in his bathrobe. Cobb hands McLean a large white sandwich board from the van, the kind worn by street advertisers, two pieces of plywood connected with twine. McLean slips off his bathrobe and tosses it to Cobb. He's now in boxer shorts, socks, and dress shoes. And that's how that ends also. So they also don't have that whole conversation between John and Cobb, where Cobb gets more on his nerves. So yeah, I like the way they do that.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. So every Tuesday we have a segment called Trilogy Tuesday, where my guest will give their top five film franchises. So what have you got for us?
All right. So not giving anything away, the Die Hard trilogy is my number five. I mean, it's okay, my top five.
That is fair.
So don't let the fact that it's five digress.
No, I don't, because you know, if you're looking at it from a purist view, it is a trilogy. I mean, four is not amazing like the first three, and five I try not to even acknowledge, you know. So
yeah,
even though I know I'm getting it stuck having to do something with it because, you know, because it's I'm doing it movies by minute. So what can you do?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't plan on doing that one minute by minute. I'm gonna find something creative to do with it. But I know I have to do something with it. Let's leave it there. Okay. I have a few seasons to go, so I'm not running to make a decision on that one yet.
You have time to worry about it.
I have lots of time to worry about it.
Oh, that's awesome. Another cop genre for my number four, and that's the Beverly Hills Cop. I absolutely love the Beverly Hills Cop movies, although I know that they are making a fourth one, or they've made a fourth one. It's coming out. But I've always enjoyed those. I know I'm a purist in some areas, purist and not. So, but, you know, originally it was three, but yeah, they are coming out with a fourth one on Netflix.
So. Yeah, well, the fourth one hasn't been released yet. So, you know, you're covered on that.
I'm still okay.
Yeah.
Number three, this is by no means a normal trilogy. There were way more than these, and there's a reason for them. It's another police series, actually. That is the Police Academy series. I absolutely love those. This was back in the time where movie rental was, again, new, when at least the first ones. And I always told people the way that they shot those, and there was just, and it still stands up today. This is probably really silly, but it is what it is. I'm originally from Pittsburgh. I live far from home right now out in the Midwest of Wisconsin. But when you first put on the Police Academy movies, that's one thing that they kept all the way through was the theme song.
Of course.
And the theme song, when you... Exactly.
Sorry everyone for having to have to listen to
me. No, that's all right. But the first few notes of it, and they did it on purpose, was the production always put, you heard just like a flute or something starting to play just the first few notes of it. And I can remember Friday night, you know, at my house, because we had the VCR, me and my friends and my uncle would come over and like my family, and we just would watch whatever movie my mom picked. And my mom didn't always pick winners. But when she picked one of the Police Academy movies, you know, and you put that in, you'd hurt that, you knew you were at least in for a good laugh. Even if the movies, you know, as some of them got a little longer or more down the number series here, if you will, they maybe sometimes weren't as funny, but you knew you were going to laugh. And so I remember that those few notes just always still are like, man, that's really awesome. So those are my first three.
Okay. Very cool.
And then my top two, again, not necessarily just a trilogy anymore, but the original Star Wars. Those were just so huge.
I don't think I've ever heard of that. That was like a small movie that they made, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just, I just absolutely love those. In the original three, I was pretty young when they came out. However, when they remastered them, like in the, I want to say the 90s.
In the 90s, or 19, 1997.
Yeah, I got to go to the theater, and I got to see all three in a theater that way, which was like seeing them for the first time. I mean, it was really cool.
That is very
cool. And I went with buddies who were just huge Star Wars nerds, so I knew what it meant to them to go see this, and then I kind of became a Star Wars nerd because of it, and it was a whole thing. So, and like, you know, the rest of the movies are great, but I still consider that, you know, that your trilogy. The last one I'll give you, my top favorite, it's not a trilogy, it's a guilty pleasure, but I love it. It's the Rocky series. You know, the whole series, just, and even into the Creed stuff. I don't know, man, it's just an Italian American. I think it's like the movie of my people or something, but I absolutely love the
Rocky. And it's your state.
It is. It's my state. It's my nationality. It's all of it. You know, and the Rocky movies were so big when I was a kid. You know, and I still love them. I mean, I absolutely will watch them. They hold up. You know, I actually rewatched the first one not that long ago, and the first one is it's fantastic. Like, it is a great, great movie. So. So those are my favorites.
All right. That's great. I actually just looked up. I was shocked. I didn't even realize this, that Beverly Hills Cop 4 is supposed to come out this summer.
Yeah. I think it's on Netflix or something.
It's called Beverly Hills Cop Axel F.
Yeah. Yeah.
And besides Eddie Murphy, it has Kevin Bacon, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and then, Judge Reinhold returns, Bronson Pinchot, Paul Reiser, John Ashton. I mean, this is gonna be great.
Yeah, the whole cast.
Too bad Ronnie. I don't see Ronnie Cox there, but you know, maybe he'll surprise us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And yeah, it would be, you know, the bulk of the cast coming back is really cool.
Yeah, wow, I can't wait to be able to see that.
Yeah,
that's gonna be really cool. All right. Yes, you're right. It will be on Netflix. It comes out on July 3rd.
Oh, I can't wait.
So hey, that's just like a little more than 2 months from now. Yeah, not too
far.
There you go.
Not too far.
That's right. Very cool. All right. So, Chris, you want to once again tell people where they can find Chris Henry?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm out there on Facebook, but I'm probably better just myself, but with Jim O'Kane doing the Apollo 13 minute and some of the other minutes that I've had a chance to do. I did the MASH minute as a guest and a few others. And then my everyday 9-to-5 job is I'm the manager of the EAA Aviation Museum out in Oshkosh, Washington. So come on out and see us. We're open every day, just about, barring any holidays. And then, of course, we have the big air show in July. It's the world's biggest air show. So definitely come on out and see us.
All right. Very cool. And while you're doing that, you can go right here and subscribe to my podcatcher. You might be using it to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And you can also, if you're interested, send me an email to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.